Do you realize what Christ's death and resurrection has done for us? Just as if we'd never sinned. That's what it means. So when he looks at us, he doesn't see the sins of the past. It's his justification. We're righteous because of him. And it's just as if I'd never sinned. All the stuff, you know what it's like. You say to Jesus, Lord, I'm remembering what I did last week. And he said, I don't remember. Because you're justified. It's just like you'd never sinned. It's awesome to sing songs like this because they put pegs in the foundation of our faith. Amen? They nail things down in our faith. They're not just happy little songs that make us happy, and they do all of that. Amen? They're awesome. They encourage our faith. But it's like when I sing that, even if you don't know what justified means, your spirit man knows what it means. And it's awesome. Thank you, worship team, for that. I don't know how many of you know that this not only is Resurrection Sunday, but it's April Fool's Day. And I love April Fool's because I used to do really weird things when the kids went to school on April 1st. I would like to give them a cheese sandwich but not take the wrapper off the cheese. And or else I'd give them a sandwich and I'd take a big bite out of it. You know, I'd do all kinds of weird things like that. One time I stayed at Rebecca's and Brock's home and I rearranged all her. She's a little OCD, if you haven't noticed. And she had all these exposure this morning, yep. And she'd all these CDs or tapes in order, A to Z, and I would rearrange them. And she had a retainer once, and I put soap inside that retainer. Just, yeah. Oh, some of you have had retainers and know that. But April Fool's! Amen. So, but it's no joke that our Christ has risen from the dead. Amen? Good to have Corey back with us all the way from Car. Is that what they're calling it now? What happened to Africa? Oh, I see. Okay. Well, y'all know that I'm directionally challenged, so it's all good. We're glad you're back, and we're glad that you're safe, and we were praying for you. All right, so let's talk about resurrection morning a little bit. First of all, anybody have a blessing that you want to share this morning? Anxious to share a blessing? Anybody? It's Easter Sunday. David, you have a blessing. All right. Amen. We rejoice with you, David. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Jody. Can you, I need a roving Randy mic because I think sometimes we can't hear you. Would you mind coming up here? I know you mind, but you're doing it anyway, so that's good. All right. Great.
Hi. it's been an awesome week. Amen. God is good. Yes. I don't know what to say. All of a sudden, I'm up front, and I'm like, I've lost my train of thought. I don't know. I shared a couple weeks ago that I've been praying and asking God for favor, and we were front page news in the Thunder Bay newspaper. So since then, we've made the front page of the business section in Kitchener. This week, we were in Sarnia and London. And there's a few more coming out this week. And it's just been awesome that there's been doors opened. And I'm reminded of like our whole message, like for marketing for our company, is that we're alive. Because everyone thought that we died with Sears. So I'm always reminded of Easter that it's the whole news of our marketing is we're not dead.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you for sharing. And I remember a couple of years ago, the Lord had a prophetic word over you about things like this and the prosperity and the finances that God would bless you with and that are in your hand. Amen?
Yes.
And
amen.
We see it coming to pass. Amen. God bless you. Charlene, you had your hand up. You're not too afraid to come up here, are you? I didn't think so. Because you know what happens. If people go too long, then I have to give them a little pinch.
Yeah, you can pinch me.
Okay.
I get pinched a lot. I'm sorry. This is probably a little bit about ourselves. But I am very grateful, and I do thank the Lord. He has answered prayer again for us. He always comes through for me and my family, and we had been praying for a new home closer to my granddaughter, and he has blessed us with a house that we can actually afford, and I didn't think it was going to happen, and I just kept having the faith that it was going to happen one day, and God kept not answering me. And so I thought, okay, I guess that means I'm to wait, and God is good. You have to have patience.
Amen.
And I think I have the word patience in the dictionary has my name beside it, I swear. But God is good, and I just pray that where we're going in Cayuga, that God will use me. I've been praying for that for a long time, and I know He uses us in little ways, but I really pray that God will have a plan set out for me and my family.
Amen. Amen. We rejoice with you.
Thank you,
and we'll be praying for the sale of that house. Amen. Anybody else got a blessing you want to share, something God's done? Brock? Yeah. Amen. We did have a great time on Friday morning. The Easter Bunny even showed up, and it was pretty. It was what? No. Oh, Walker told you that, didn't he? Walker or Madison? The Easter Bunny's coming in your dreams. It's coming. Tomorrow night, you watch for it. But we just had a great time, and many of our neighbors came. They came for pancake breakfast, or as Noelle put it, pancake breakfast. I thought maybe that was Trinidad for pancake or something. And lots of kids, and well organized over there. We had so many Easter eggs. Thank you for Karma Candy donating that. Kim was instrumental in getting those Easter eggs. And the Easter Bunny could hardly walk through without stepping on Easter eggs. And one little girl said to me, well, I'm sorry. One little girl said to the Easter Bunny, did you poop all these eggs out? Is that what they think? I said, no, I have a team of manufacturers now. So, anyway, we had lots of fun, and it is our joy to be involved in our community, and that's just who we are. That's what we want to do. That's what we believe that we are planted here. And some may think, oh, you didn't even have a Good Friday service. You didn't, but we did. We served our neighborhood, and I think sometimes we're just so full. You know, when you get full and you don't even feel good anymore because you're so over full, there's got to be an outlet. And so we just love serving our neighborhood. And thank you to the events team that are so amazing and so creative and put in a lot of hard work. Thanks to each of you who came and participated. That was awesome and great. And any leftover chocolate, we will be happy to help you out with that. So, the miracle of resurrection morning. Father, we bless you and thank you. This day is all about you, Jesus. We thank you for who we are in Christ. We thank you that it's just as if I'd never sinned because of what you did on the cross and because of the resurrection. And so we bless you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And so it's an awesome day to be able to celebrate his death and his resurrection. So this morning, I'm just going to back up just a little bit from what today we celebrate the resurrection. And I want to talk to you about just a couple of things about what led up to the crucifixion of Christ. Once they decided to crucify Christ, the events began to move very, very quickly. And first of all, the Jewish priests were unable to openly arrest Jesus and to kill him. Then Judas agreed to betray him for 30 pieces of silver, which was, by the way, prophesied in Zechariah 11:12. 500 years before this. And then Jesus shared a final meal with the disciples, what we call the Last Supper, and he talks to them about a new covenant that was going to be written with his blood. And then he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, some of the things that Rebecca read to us this morning. A mock trial before the Jewish officials and Pilate. It was quick and it was illegal. He's taken at night before the Sanhedrin, which was Israel's court of the governing body back then. Peter denies Jesus. Judas realizes his mistake. He flings the blood money on the temple floor and he goes away to commit suicide. The Jewish court has no authority to sentence a person to death. And so Jesus is taken to Pilate, who is the Roman governor. He admits to being king of the Jews, but he refuses to defend himself. Pilate is convinced that of Jesus' innocence, but yields to pressure and promotes his death sentence. Jesus is whipped, mocked, led away to be crucified. And by the way, all of these things are prophesied in the Old Testament. This was nothing new to the New Testament. It's all prophesied beforehand. And then his death on the cross. His body is taken down, laid in a tomb. The chief priests and the elders go to Pilate the day after Jesus was buried and requested a watch of 4 Roman soldiers to guard the tomb and a Roman seal to ensure, because they were afraid. They knew the prophecy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They did not believe he was the Messiah. And so they sealed the tomb and they posted guards so that the disciples could not get in and steal the body away. And I don't know, maybe some of you have ever seen The Passion play. You've seen it, that video? It's a great, it's awesome. It's really awesome. There's also another series on Netflix called AD Kingdom, and it's really good as well. Hollywood is never good at portraying Jesus, even if the people who produce it are saved. There's still Hollywood has to get in there, and so some of it is somebody's imagination. But in the midst of what I found in these two plays, movies, there's enough there to say, "Wow, that's awesome!" Amen. And so, just keep your Bibles close because we got to keep the facts straight. There cannot be an erosion of our faith. That's why it's awesome to come and sing scripturally based songs about Jesus Christ, that talk about justification, that talk about his second coming, that talk about the resurrection, because we have to keep our faith from eroding. There's got to be some passion that and some word. We have to stick close to the word. Let me tell you this morning, stick close to what God says. In the days that we're living in, there's all kinds of opinion, and we can get any kind of opinion. You know, I heard the other day that somebody went on Google and searched out the Statue of Liberty, you know, that's on that island with its big torch, thank you, up in the air, and the Google actually said it was made of tin. It's not made of tin, it's made of brass. And so Google can tell us anything, and unless we're diligent to search into that, then we just kind of buy into it, and we just say, some of you are checking that out. So anyway, keep our Bibles close to us. Keep the Word of God hidden in our heart to stop an erosion of our faith. What we stand on, what we believe has to be factual and according to the word of God. Amen. And this morning when we talk about the crucifixion and the resurrection, it's not just a fairy story. It is the absolute truth and can be proven out historically and biblically as well. And so we don't want things to water down the word of God in our lives to just because it suits my needs, right? Or just because, and I could just stop right there and I could just go on that. But there are so many things that happen in our life that we say, well, this is okay, but oh, this is getting really big and strong, but this is not okay. Well, pretty soon this will be okay, but then will be this. So we water down these things because of what's happening culturally. And we have to stand strong on the Word of God and what God says. And so you can turn your scriptures to Matthew chapter 27 for a few minutes. Again, still talking about the cross. Now, on the sixth hour until the ninth hour when Jesus was crucified, there was darkness all over the land. And so we read that suddenly and unexpectedly, the sixth hour is noon, the clouds started rolling in over the land, becoming darker and darker. If we were to look it up in the Greek, it means a gradual darkness. It didn't just bam, get dark. Clouds came and it got darker and darker and darker until it actually was, the word for dark was very dark. So it's not just like this morning we shut the blinds and we turn the lights off, that's dark. But it was, there was like a thick darkness. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give the time, and it was the sixth hour, which was noon, which is very, very, say very. It's very significant. And so you remember that it's Passover in Jerusalem. That's when Christ was crucified, which in and of itself is a historical fact because he is the Passover lamb. And so he was crucified at Passover, and at the exact hour of noon or the sixth hour, the high priest Caiaphas, in all his priestly garments, would begin a procession where he would enter the temple. He would slaughter a pure, spotless Passover lamb. At that very hour that he was doing that, Christ was crucified and darkness filled the whole earth. The darkness lasted till the ninth hour. And at that moment, at the ninth hour, the high priest would be making his entrance into the Holy of Holies, and he would be offering the blood of that Passover lamb to cover the sins of the nation of Israel. And it would be at that exact time, say exact time, at that exact moment that Jesus cried out, "It is finished." In fact, Hebrew scholars tell us that he said, "Finished!" Now, here's a man dying on the cross, can hardly breathe, raises himself up, and with his very last breath, he says, "Finished!" And at that same time, that priest, that high priest, would be going into the Holy of Holies to offer the blood of the Lamb. And so nothing... The timing of all this is miraculous, absolutely miraculous. And with the last breath of Jesus Christ, he claimed victory for you and victory for me. He did not die like a wimp on the cross. He died in victory and he died in power. And so what happens next is even more amazing, if you can imagine. Matthew 27 verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Verse 51 says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks were split." Again, if we were to study it out in the original language, we would realize that the earthquake was something huge and massive, and we realize that the rocks that split in two were not tiny little stones. This is not the word for stones. This is the Greek word for huge boulders that split in two. And so we read an interesting thing there. "And behold, the veil of the temple was ripped in two." And so if we were to go inside the temple at that time, there were two veils inside the temple. One was to the, because there were two places. There was the holy place and there was the Holy of Holies. And so going into the temple, you would come to the holy place. And there was a veil there that separated people from going into the holy place. And then there was a second entrance with a veil called the Holy of Holies. And in this Holy of Holies, only the high priest was allowed to go in. He was the only one allowed to pass through and offer the blood of that lamb, the blood sacrifice, into that. What that veil did was it separated the common, ordinary people from the presence of God. And the only way common, ordinary people who were not high priests could obtain or see God was once a year on Passover, when the high priest would go in and atone for, with this blood sacrifice, atone for the sins of Israel. And so the veil, historians tell us that it was 60 feet high, probably three times as high as this, wouldn't you say, men? I think we're about 25 feet high here. Last time I swung from the ceiling, I think it was 25 feet high. 30 feet wide, the veil, not the room, the veil was 30 feet wide and an entire hand's breadth of thickness. One early Jewish writing states that the veil was so heavy that it took 300 priests to move it or manipulate it. And so, humanly speaking, it would have been impossible to rip that veil from bottom to top, never mind that it was ripped from top to bottom. Isn't that amazing? And at this very time when Jesus Christ, it is finished, it was like divine hands came, tore that veil in two. At that exact moment, he was breathing his last breath on the cross, miles away on the hill of Golgotha. Caiaphas, the high priest, was preparing to step in through the second veil of the temple, enter the Holy of Holies, where he would offer the blood of the Lamb. At that precise moment, Jesus exclaimed, "It is finished." And an unexplainable, miraculous, supernatural event occurred. We've been talking about say yes to the miraculous. The whole of this is nothing short of a miracle. None of this could have been done by the hands of man. Amen? And so the veil was split, torn in half from top to bottom. And Ephesians says that Jesus has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So what does that mean for you and me? What does that mean today, X number of centuries ahead of time? What did it mean for the people of that day? What did it mean? So, yes, it's awesome, wonderful, miraculous, a huge 60 by 30 by probably 10 inches split, torn from top to bottom. Awesome, miraculous. Let's get a piece of it. Let's enshrine it. Let's wear it around our necks. Let's put it in our pocket. Let's hold on to it. But what does it mean? What it means, what it meant, and what it means for you and I is that now I can go in to the Holy of Holies. Now I can go into the presence of God. Before this, nobody could go into the presence of God. The presence of God, the Jewish people thought, was contained in their temple, and only beyond the Holy of Holies. So now, historically, what this meant for the nation, what this meant for the common, ordinary people. Got any common, ordinary people here? Don't be afraid to say you're common and ordinary. Yes, we are. You and I can now go into, we can go into the presence of God. That never happened before. Up until this day, and with the curtain ripping, that's exactly what it meant. The earth shook. There was a huge earthquake, and biblical scholars say that earthquake was worldwide, not only in the nation of Israel. I have not taken time to Google and check that out, if that was true or not. Said that kind of tongue-in-cheek right there, right? Because what I... Okay. All right, I'll carry on. So the earth shook. There was a huge, huge earthquake because creation itself, Scripture talks about creation groaning. It groans under the weight of sin, but now their creator, who was Jesus Christ, died on the cross, and creation recognized it. You remember creation obeyed Jesus Christ. Wind ceased, and it stopped. Fish, produce a coin in your mouth. And it did. Fish, When there are no fish 1 minute, fish the next minute. Because all of creation recognizes the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? All of creation. And so creation rocked and reeled at the crucifixion of their Creator. And when his blood was shed at the cross as final payment for your sin and mine, from that day on, there was no more need to offer sacrifices year after year. If you had been born back then and you were a Jew, you would have had to sacrifice on a regular basis. You would have had to take in a lamb, a pigeon, some other form of a blood sacrifice, and you would have had to go to church and you would have had to sacrifice one of those animals. Today we don't need to do that because Jesus Christ is our blood sacrifice. I am thankful for that. I am thankful for that. The Holy of Holies, a place limited only to the high priest once a year, has now become open and accessible to all of us. We can enjoy the presence of God every day. And I hope we can get an understanding of that. I hope we get a fresh revelation and enjoy his presence every day. Our sins atoned for. I'm made right before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, I am made right before God the Father. It's the only way that it could be done, as Rebecca read. Hebrews says that we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So let's draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. So as believers in Christ, we're thankful for the cross, thankful for the miracle power destroying the veil that separated us from his presence. So I can come boldly before the throne of grace and I can get help in time of trouble. Oftentimes we sing a song, Hillsong song, says, At the Cross. And it says, At the cross I bow my knee where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You go before me. You shield my way. Your hand upholds me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee where your blood was shed for me. Then it goes on to say, you tore the veil. You made a way. So as you sing this song in the future, when we sing this song, let's remember what the veil was that was torn, this huge curtain that separated God from us and separated us from God. We can now go into the Holy of Holies because the veil was torn away. You tore the veil. You made a way. You said, it's done. It's finished. So let's remember the tearing of the veil as we sing it. And so the events of his death were all intricately woven together. Nothing by chance was done so that you and I could come into his presence. God's timing for the events that happened was absolutely perfect. You remember there were times the disciples said, come on, let's get on with this. And Jesus said, no, it's not my time yet. It's not my time yet. And so his timing with the sixth hour and the ninth hour, all of that was absolutely intricately woven for the Jewish nation so that they could look back and they could see, oh, this happened as we were doing this. This happened to Christ as we were doing this. A testimony of the miraculous power of Jesus Christ and what he did to take our sins away. And so the crucifixion, then the resurrection, because killing him was not the end of him. Matthew 28, 1 and 2 says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So there we have this another earthquake happening. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Matthew 28, verse 5. Jesus, alive. Literally raised from the dead. The power of God exploded. exploding inside that tomb. There's a really fantastic book out on the center circular table out there about the resurrection. And it goes through, I'd encourage you just to have a quick scan through it. But it shows what we have believed as the shroud, the wrappings that Jesus was wrapped in. And I was showing it to Samuel, and he said, I can't see it very well because it's like an X-ray. And so it just shows the lightning power that came through Jesus Christ, burned his image. It wasn't just the blood that was on that shroud. It was the image of Jesus because of the power that came from him as he was raised from the dead. And so he's not dead. His body and his spirit flooded the corpse with life, and he arose. It's not a legend. It's not a fairy tale. It's the truth. It happened sometime between the close of the Sabbath, which was a sunset on Saturday, and then before the women came to the tomb on early Sunday morning. Scripture says even before sunrise. Only the angels saw the resurrection of Christ and the four Roman guards who had been put there by Pilate. But as we read in Scripture, the Roman guards were silenced by a threat and a bribe. Mark, in Mark 16, 2-4, records, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone? These are the women. Who's going to roll away from the stone from the door of the sepulchre? But when they got there and they looked, they saw that the stone was already rolled away, for it was great. And so these women had been during the night preparing burial spices to anoint the body of Christ, which again was their custom. They didn't know that the tomb was guarded and sealed by the Romans, but they knew there was a big stone rolled in front of it. And partway there, they wondered, who is going to roll away that great big stone for us? But even in the midst of that, they didn't turn back. They didn't stop and say, you know what? We are never going to get in. That stone is just way too big, too heavy for us. And, you know, I just admire so much the faith of these women that they just kept going, even though, I mean, some might say, silly women, they didn't even plan things out. No, they were driven by their love and their compassion and their just their compassion for Jesus. They were driven by it. And partway there, they started thinking, planning a little bit ahead. And they thought, how are we going to ever roll that stone away? It's so big and so huge. But they kept going. And they saw something that nobody else would see, no other women would see. Because when others stayed and missed what Jesus had done, these women had the faith and the courage to go for it, even in the midst of not really understanding or how is all this going to work. Have you ever started just something? You just felt the Holy Spirit wanted you to do something. And so you begin talking to somebody about it and they start to say, well, how's all that going to happen? How's this going to happen? I remember once before we started the church, I was talking to a minister friend in Buffalo, and he asked me what my goal was. What do you want to do in your life? And I said, you know, I just really want to be a great speaker. I want to travel the world. I want to preach, and I want to speak for Jesus. And I said, and I want to be one of the best. And he said, how will you know that? And I'm like, I don't know how I'll know that. You know, it was just something in my heart. We're going to start a church. Well, how are you going to do that? Where are you going to have it? I don't know. And I'm not saying yay for lack of planning and procrastination. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's something to be said for those of us who will move out on the word of the Holy Spirit and the passion that is within us, even though we don't have all our ducks in the row, even though we don't know how is this going to happen, how is this going to happen, we trust the Lord in the midst of it. Because if we just stay back and if we stand still and do nothing, we will miss the miraculous. So another earthquake happened at the moment of Jesus' resurrection. And just as creation shook when the Creator died on the cross, now the earth exploded with the excitement of the resurrection of Jesus. So when these women arrived, they found the stone, a very great stone, rolled away. And I think, oh, that we would have faith like these women had. Not turning back when perceived obstacles are in our way. I pray that our love will compel us after him, because if we do, we'll see what nobody else sees. There's a song, a really, really, really old song by a great singer named Sandy Patty. I actually used to sing this song, "When others see with earthly eyes just what they want to see, you will see the things that never die. You will know and recognize by simple childlike faith the priceless truth that others will deny. Upon this rock I'll build my kingdom, and on this rock forever and ever it will stand, and all the powers of hell itself will nevermore prevail against it." They, the women in the scripture, and you and I need to be like this. See with spirit eyes, not needing to have all the answers before we step out for Jesus Christ. Matthew goes on to tell us that the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone of the door and sat upon it. The angel was powerful. His countenance, it says, was like lightning. He was in clothing as white as snow. No wonder the guards were shaking with fear. In fact, they were so terrified. Scripture says they fell to the ground, violently trembling, paralyzed with fear, and they were unable to move. And when they were able to move, they got up and they ran. And so when the women arrived there, there was nobody around, only the angel sitting on top of that huge stone that he had rolled away. The purpose, remember, not to get Jesus out, but so that we could see the tomb was empty. They entered the tomb. They didn't find the body. They found another angel inside, also clothed in long white garment. Now, this angel has some specific garments on. In the Greek, the word clothed pictures a garment that was draped around his shoulders, just like a mighty warrior would be dressed. The word garment means a stole, which represents long flowing robes that adorned royalty, adorned commanders and kings, priests, and others of high distinction. Angelic beings were often active in the scriptures. I think in the last days we will see an influx of angelic beings. And so this was the warrior angel that was inside of that tomb. So the woman stood in the empty tomb. Luke tells us that they were confused, like they had lost their way, because they expected, first of all, they expected the stone to be rolled away. They didn't come with the expectation that they would see the stone rolled away when they got there. So that must have been a little confusing. How did they ever even roll this stone away? Like, what happened? But they went in anyway. And then they had seen at least two angelic beings. And that was kind of perplexing and a little confusing, because they'd come to see Jesus. And then when they got there, they found the tomb empty. There was no body. All there was the pile of clothes that he was wrapped in, the napkin that was over his face folded neatly. And so they're trying to figure out what happened. And what's going on within their minds, within their brains, trying to figure this out. Forgive me for generalizing, but they're probably talking amongst themselves, as I don't think any of us as women would go and just stand there and quietly wonder what would happen. I think we'd be talking, saying, "My gosh, what do you think happened here? Where's Jesus? They've taken him away." And I think in their passion and their excitement, they would be chatting amongst one another. And all of a sudden, these angels, perhaps the one that was sitting outside on the stone, show up, both of them, inside the tomb, and speak to the women and say, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, crucified, and on the third day he would rise again. And they remembered his words. And so they run to tell the disciples. I don't think it was, again, just a well-thought-out conversation. Okay, so you take the lead on this. You tell them about this. I think they were vocally falling all over each other. Have you ever been that excited that you just... doesn't look like it. But have you ever just been so excited that you can't wait? Kids are like that, aren't they? Three little kids run into the room. They've seen something awesome. And they run into the room and they don't stand there and wait. And one speak and then another and another. They fall all over each other. And sometimes they even say, no, that's not what I saw. And this is what we saw. And oh my gosh, can you remember those angels that were there? Oh my gosh, it was so awesome. And they were talking and babbling all over each other. And the disciples, they really didn't know what to think. This group of men. Imagine what they must have been thinking. What? What are you talking about? Some of you men have experienced that from your wife when she comes in excitedly telling you about something and you stand back and say, what? What are you talking about? What? And so, the rest of the disciples stayed in the room. Peter and John, scripture says, both went running. But John outran Peter in John chapter 20, it says this. When you read through the book of John, he rarely refers to himself as John. He rarely uses his name because of the, he's just humble. And so he says, Peter and the other disciple. Well, he was the other disciple. John outran Peter and he reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. I'm not really sure why he didn't go in. Maybe Jewish law, maybe because you were not allowed to touch a dead body. But whatever, he stayed on the outside and he just looked. And then Simon Peter, well, we know what Simon Peter did. You don't even have to read it. We know what he'll do. He came in along behind him. He went straight into the tomb and he saw the strips of linen lying there. He saw the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. So perhaps I can, in my imagination and my reading and study, paint a picture. It was like Jesus got up, sat on the edge of the stone that he was lying on, took his grave cloths off, put them over here, took his napkin off his face, folded it lightly, and then stood up and exited the tomb. And so they saw this, the cloth still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. And then scripture says, he saw and he believed. They still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So Peter and John were first. If this was true, what the women had been sharing with them, they wanted to see it for themselves. They didn't want to miss the miracle. They ran to the tomb even before the women had stopped speaking. But Mary Magdalene followed behind them. I think it's very interesting that no other disciples followed, just Peter and John. And so they believed, eventually the disciples believed. However, they missed the miraculous, that they missed seeing what was in the tomb because they just stayed behind for whatever reason. Maybe they were just wanting to maintain the status quo. Maybe there was a fear within them, but they missed what Peter and John saw. And I think that speaks to us that I think we have to be careful that we just don't sit around and talk about these things. That we don't just have church just for us because it's wonderful and it's great to be together and to sing these songs. And we can just stay there maintaining the status quo, just be like other churches. And I'm not saying other churches do this, but there's got to be something within us that moves us out in faith. And then and only then will we begin to see the miraculous. Peter and John were a danger to the status quo that morning. I don't know about you, and I do know about you. We want to experience the miraculous power of the resurrection every day of our lives. But we have to get up, and we have to get moving. So John gets there first. He doesn't go in, but he sees the linen cloths that have been wrapped over Jesus' face. According to Jewish burial style, the body would be wrapped in a large white linen cloth and strips, and his face would be covered with a napkin. They would be from Joseph of Arimathea. You remember he and Nicodemus requested the body. Can we take from Pilate? Can we take down the Jesus' body from the cross? I have a tomb that's never been used, Joseph of Arimathea said. Can I place his body in my tomb? And Pilate gave them permission. And so they would have been wrapped in, because of who Joseph and Nicodemus were, they would have been wrapped in very expensive Egyptian material. And so the material, first of all, a couple of things that I see are really important. First of all, the napkin that was over Jesus' face was folded. It wasn't just laying in a heap. It was folded, which, as you know, in when Jesus was on earth, part of his, before he went into his ministry, he was a carpenter. And so I am told that when a carpenter, a finished carpenter, finishes his work, there's what they call a tack cloth, which is sticky and wipes off all the dust and stuff, that when that carpenter is finished, he folded his tack cloth, put it on the piece that he was making, and it would be a symbol to those wanting to buy the piece that it was finished. Isn't that interesting that Jesus folded as a finished carpenter? He folded his napkin, put it down, symbolizing what I've done is finished. I think it's also important that there was no hurry in Jesus. There's no hurry in heaven. You talked about waiting, and there's just no hurry. And sometimes we're so guilty about just waiting, in not just in the presence of the Lord, but waiting for God to do something on our behalf to us and for us. And so first, the work of the finished carpenter, and that there was no hurry. Second, if indeed, like the rumor that spread through Jerusalem because of Pilate and the high priest wanting people to believe the body was stolen. But if the body was stolen, especially this cloth that was made out of very expensive European material, they would have taken that cloth as well. They would not have left this expensive piece of material there if the body had been stolen. So Peter didn't hesitate to enter like John did. He barges in and he checks things out for himself. He saw, scripture says, the strips of linen there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. All of these things are important. They're not important just because these men and the Holy Ghost who wrote the scripture are factual and dependent upon facts. It is that. But they're all very important. They have huge symbolic reasons for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. Leaving no room for doubt in your mind and in my mind that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that he rose from the dead on the third day. There can be absolutely, biblically and historically and scientifically, there can be no doubt. There's another great show. It's on Netflix called The Case for Christ. That's what it's called, isn't it, Brenda? It's by Lee Strobel and his testimony of how he tried to prove that Jesus Christ wasn't the Messiah, didn't die, wasn't resurrected, and all the things that he went through. There is great scientific information in that movie. I would highly recommend it to you. And so the others who stayed behind, again, they missed out. So John enters finally. He sees what Peter sees, and scripture says he believed. I love the fact that we see these different personalities in all of these disciples. But John doesn't need a lightning bolt from the sky. He doesn't need angelic visitation. He sees an empty tomb. He sees the cloths laying there. And Scripture says that John believed. On the other hand, it says that Peter left, Luke 24:12, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. Even though Peter had been in the tomb longer, examined the things that were there, it was John who came in and instantly believed. Peter left still wondering, I wonder what's happening here. How many times have you left, or I left, unaffected by powers and miracles? Do you know there are people that have had incredible, miraculous healings that they attribute to God, but they are still not believers? They're still wondering about Jesus Christ. You and I have experienced here on Sunday mornings and other times, prayer meetings, the presence of God. Do we leave unaffected like Peter, wondering, I wonder what that was all about? Wonder why people came to the front and stood and worshiped Jesus. Are we going to just stay in our spot? Or are we going to move towards Jesus Christ? God has delivered us, saved us, rescued us from harm over and over and over again. I think when you get to heaven, you're going to see how many times and how many places God spared your life. We might not see it here and now, some of you. I have seen it a few times in my life. And yet we still wonder, some of us, is God really with us or not? How can we ever question the faithfulness of God after all that he's done for us? And so we need to ask ourselves, has erosion happened in our lives, hardening our hearts to the things of God? Let's not remain unaffected by the miracle-working power and presence of Almighty God. So then we come upon Mary Magdalene, someone else who got moving. Not content to stay and just talk about it and wonder what happened. She followed. Well, let's read it. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look at the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she said, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have laid him." Verse 14. Now when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Scripture says that she thinks that it's just a gardener until he speaks her name. Mary knew the voice that caused the miraculous to happen. The voice that cast seven demons out of Mary Magdalene. The same voice that said to Lazarus, "Come forth." She probably would have been there. The same voice that said to the woman in her darkest hour as the coffin carried her son through the town. The same voice that said, "Don't cry." The same voice that said to that son, "Arise." The same voice that would ring through hell, taking back the keys to death and hell. This same voice was calling Mary's name, and she knew his voice. And he knew Mary's voice. And when he heard her crying, he just couldn't help himself. He stopped and he showed up. Scripture reminds us that he stops for common people. Ordinary people. Scripture says he stops to release prisoners. He responds to the cries of the hurting and the broken. She didn't just sit there and say, "Oh, wow, Lord, it's you." She lunges at him. She moves towards him. And he said, "Mary, not yet. You see, I was on a mission and you interrupted it. I just stopped by to call your name. I just stopped by so that you'd know I'm not lost and I'm not dead, but I'm alive." And today, you and I, as we move towards him, don't we rejoice that Jesus is alive? Oh, guys, I pray that as we celebrate with our family and friends and we maybe give out chocolate and we enjoy turkey or whatever you do on a day like today, let's not forget what it's about. This time for the Christian church, can I say this, is greater than the birth. It's greater. This day, anybody did and could die on a cross, but not anybody could be resurrected. Jesus Christ, he's the first and the last. Oh, there's awesome stories in the scripture about after he was resurrected, there's all kinds of people that just leapt out of the graves and began walking, went back into town. But he was the first fruits. The purpose of the cross to redeem you and I, to put us back in right relationship with God, the veil is torn. Sin has a price. If you've sinned, you know it. If you haven't sinned, you're not breathing. Sin has a price. And Jesus paid that price. He tore the veil. He made a way for you and I. We can be in right relationship with God by accepting the work of Christ on the cross. He died for you. He died for me. You can know his voice as you move towards him. Maybe time and lack of fellowship with other believers have eroded your faith. But today, let's not miss out on the miraculous power of resurrection morning. Let's make a move towards Christ this morning. How can we respond? How will we respond today? How will we respond this morning to the proclamation of God's word and the proclamation that says, he's not here, he is risen. He's not lost, he's not dead, he's alive. What an awesome celebration you and I have. Let's stand together. I'm going to close in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team who's left, if you'd get ready, lead us in worship as one final song. Father, we thank you this morning. Just go ahead and, why don't you just go ahead and raise your hands to the Lord. Just surrender. Let that be maybe this morning your move towards him. Just put your hands in the air and just really high or really low or at your waist. Just make a move towards God this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. Thank you for the veil that was ripped top to bottom. Thank you. Thank you that you made a way. You made a way, Jesus. Oh, glorious day, glorious morning as those women ran towards the tomb. Glorious day as they looked inside. Peter, John looked inside and saw, he's not here. He's no longer dead. He's alive. He's alive. Father, may we as believers in Jesus Christ proclaim it long and loud and hard this morning. May we not get caught up in the Easter bunny and Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff. Father, thank you that you give us the freedom to do that. But oh God, we want to worship you this morning for who you are and what you've done. Now you've saved us, Jesus. You've saved our lives. God, you've delivered us. You've delivered us, some in this room, from the demonic. You've delivered us from hell and death and even the grave because you are alive. And we rejoice, 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 rejoice. Oh, Jesus, we're excited this morning to worship you, not as someone who died on the cross, buried, but now someone, the Son of God, raised, seated at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, according to the book of Acts, this is only the beginning. And so we love you. We say yes to the miraculous power of resurrection morning. We say yes, yes, yes. We will not allow our culture to erode our faith and tell us something different happened. We love you. We worship you this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen.